Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Well, welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. As I've said for a long time, I am flying solo this week. It was good to hear Pastor Ken on a show last week when we replayed the Bobby Bowden show. And you know what? I miss having him in studio with me, because you can tell by listening to the old shows how much fun we had. And I still see him every Sunday up at Brookside Baptist Church. But, boy, it would be good, and I look forward to having him back in studio. Speaking of Brookside Baptist Church, I go there every Sunday. I'm the valet driver. If you want to come out, I'll park your car for you. You can sit in the back to the right. That's where my wife and I sit. We go to the early service, and I'm out front about a half hour before the church starts, and I'm valeting cars. I've got about four or five girlfriends that, I don't know, Edna's my favorite if she's listening, but I've got a number of people that I park their cars for. Well, one guy that I help a little bit, because he's hurting a little bit physically right now, is a guy named Roman. And Roman said, hey, I got to talk to you. I've got somebody that I really want you to consider to be a guest on Faith in the Zone. And I think he is perfect for that show. I said, that'd be great. Who is it? He said, his name is Tom Meyer. He is a former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach, and I heard him speak at a prayer breakfast, and he was phenomenal. And I think he's over at Eastbrook, and there's a couple of ways for you to get a hold of him. So I want to thank Roman. I want to thank Pastor Ken Keltner, who passed along Tom's information and his phone number. And for the entire hour today, we're joined by Tom Meyer, who is the Badger baseball coach for 13 years. One thing that I got to figure this out, he went to school at Northwestern. But he coached at Wisconsin. Hey, so Tom, hey, first of all, Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. So when the Badgers were playing Northwestern in baseball, I know you're rooting for the Badgers, right? You became a cheesehead.
I became a cheesehead. I'm from Milwaukee.
Good.
So Wisconsin's in my heart all the way around.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Washington High School.
Yeah, you were a Pergolder.
I was a Pergolder, and it was a different school back in those days. I missed Herb Cole and Bud Selig by a few years. They were already out. It was only a 3-year school, sophomore, junior, and senior, and they were already out. And high school baseball actually started in Milwaukee my junior year, which would have been 1954.
Wow.
So now everybody knows I'm an old guy.
Well, Jay, I'll tell you this, Tom. The reason I do shows like this, it started because my mom was a big high school basketball fan, She went to Washington. We lost her a year ago, April. She was 91, but she lived, my grandmother lived right on the corner of 43rd Street and Lisbon, above the pharmacy. There was a pharmacy across street from what I think was the library and Washington Park. And that's where my grandmother and grandfather and my mom, I think she lived there for a while as well. But she went to Washington High School, and she loved high school basketball, and she got me to love it too. And I coached for 36 years, and I wish that she was around so she would always listen to this show and my high school basketball show.
Well, we transferred buses right out of that corner.
Well, here you. Claire was the
I came up, and then we hit the Sherman Boulevard bus to go to school. So,
well, Claire was the pharmacist.
Probably saw your mother.
Yep, Claire, her really good friend, ended up to be a pharmacist, and a friend of my grandmother's was a pharmacist in the pharmacy below. And anytime I'd visit my grandmother, she'd bring us in the pharmacy, and Claire would give us some candy. That I remember. You know, unbelievable. Hey, Tom, I got to tell you that and when we talked a little bit off the air, you said, hey, I was one of the guys that started the Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Association. And, you know, in the summertime, Scott Holler, who was the president of the Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Association for a while, is my co-host. And every other week we do the Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Association high school coaches show. And so every other Saturday in the summer, we reach out to baseball coaches from all over the state and just talk to them about their program and their players and their conferences and stuff like that. And I told you that I have a story about this, that anything you need to know about my wife, Terry, this is exactly why I married her. Probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, I was doing my Saturday shows from the office at my house. And she was off, it was Saturday morning, she was off at the grocery store, and I went to a break, and I went and grabbed the mail. And in the same mail, Tom, I got a package from the Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Association and an envelope from the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association, all in one mail. And I opened the package from the Baseball Coaches Association, and they named me their Media Man of the Year.
Oh, that's great.
A beautiful plaque. I was just so, like, taken back by that. And then I opened the basketball one, and it was a letter saying that I'll be inducted into the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame on September 25th. Same mail. So I put this on the kitchen table, and I proudly walked to my office, and, you know, pride has always been an issue with me. And now I'm on the air, and I'm talking, and Terry comes in. My wife comes in from the grocery store, and she's putting the groceries away. And I walk in. I go, how you doing? She goes, good, you? I said, good. She goes, take out the garbage. I go, what? She goes, take out the garbage. I said, did you see the kitchen table? She goes, I did. Take out the garbage and we'll talk about it when you come back in. And I'm walking down the sidewalk, Tom, and I'm like, ma, I can't believe it. And I'm yelling to myself. And I walk back in and she hugs me. She says, I'm so proud of you, but nobody's getting a big head in my house. And I said, baby, this is the reason I married you right here. You put me in check every chance you get. I just love that. Hey, Tom, growing up, and so you played then city conference baseball for a year or two then?
For 2 years, yeah. Junior and senior year.
Were you a big baseball guy before that?
Yes, we had. Well, we had a lot of the Stars of Yesterday League was in Milwaukee, which anybody over whatever age will remember. Those teams were named after former Milwaukee Brewers players. That was American Association Milwaukee Brewers in those days. And so we ended up having, we played in an all-star game at the old Borchardt Field. And after that all-star game, we decided as North players to stick together the next year. And so we all stuck together. So we had a great team on the north side. And we won the city championship in Stars Yesterday, and then moved up to the Midget League and won the city championship there. And we always played Teddy Brzezink's bar, or Casey Brzezink's bar on the south side. And Teddy Brzezink was the son of Casey Brzezink, and they owned everything on the south side. So we really had a good time playing against each other over the years and still connect with each other today.
Boy, that's awesome. You know, I played a number of Pony League games at Washington Park. Mm-hmm. So across the street from, again, where my mom kind of grew up. And I can tell you that back then I went to St. Peter and Paul on the east side, and we had a decent Pony League team, and it was 7th and 8th grade kids. And I think I don't think I hit a ball any farther, even in high school, than I did at Washington Park, but there was no fence. But that thing rolled a long way. Tom, I got to be honest, a kid hung a curve. Yeah, he hung a curveball, and I hit that thing. And boy, oh boy, that thing went a long way. And I thought, as I was rounding third base, I thought, man, I'm not sure I ever hit a ball that far before.
Yeah, there you go.
It was good. Hey, when let's talk a little bit about your coaching history then. You know, I still, to this day, Tom, and I bet you do too, I still get people asking me if I think that Wisconsin will ever bring baseball back. And we'll get into that conversation. But I'm wondering, you know, prior to becoming the coach with the Badgers, what was your coaching tree?
That's a good question. I actually credit my working on the playgrounds in Milwaukee, where I learned a lot about coaching. I worked in way in the inner city at Norris 1 year, and then I went up to Washington Park. And they had a playground. It was a city playground in a county park. They were experimenting. And I was with those wonderful young men and women for 7 years. And I still hear from them today. And that was we had lots of teams. We had four softball teams, younger age, right on the playground, kind of an intra-playground. And then we had the teams that traveled. And we had a great time with volleyball and softball, and it was just a wonderful group of young men. So I learned a lot there. Then I went to Northwestern, and then when I finished there as a player, and I wasn't a very good player, and as I tell people, the scouts told me I was missing just one thing to get to the big leagues, and I was all excited to try to practice that one thing, and they said ability. So that took the wind out of that, and then I ended up being asked to stay on Northwestern staff, which was just a two-man staff. The head coach, Coach Lindstrom, who's in the Hall of Fame today, and myself. So I had 2 years working on a master's and being on Northwestern staff. Then I went to Northern Illinois for 6 years. Well, actually, in between, I was at Evanston Township High School. The athletic director at Northwestern, when I tried to get that job after the head coach resigned, in the middle of my second year of coaching, I wanted that job, but I didn't get it. He said, get some high school experience. So I was a math teacher, taught at the high school in Evanston, and was an assistant coach. And that was an eye-opening place. They had 9 gymnasiums, 2 swimming pools, 3 baseball fields right on campus. It was a great place to get my feet wet and a wonderful baseball program. And then after 2 years there, I went out to Northern Illinois and became the head coach out there for 6 years.
Wow. You know, when you talk about being on the playground at Washington, you know, I talk a lot about it. I grew up on Bartlett Avenue playground.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that I reference that a lot because it was pretty much 5 or 6 days a week, normally 5 days a week. I would wake up, and my mom worked at the UWM bookstore, and she would have a little honey to-do list for me, right? Get, you know, wash the back stairs, get the dishes done, take the garbage out, and I would get that done very quickly because I had to get to Bartlett Avenue Playground because it opened at 9. And I never knew, Tom, running down to the playground, what we were going to do that day. We're going to play strikeout. We're going to play basketball. We're going to play softball. I learned how to play chess, you know, all of this stuff with all these guys. And then we'd go against different playgrounds like Hartford and Maryland. And it was so fun. And it was something different every day. And the young people, now they seemed old to me then. They were probably 17, 18, 19 years old, but they had things planned. Or, you know, I'd run onto the playground and they'd say, hey, okay, this is what you want to do this today. We're running this tournament today. You want in? And I'd be like, no, I think I want to do this today, but thanks. And I'd go do whatever. But it was a full day. And we would stay on the playground from 9 till 5. And Tom, I probably drove those young people crazy, to be quite honest with you. But I love the fact that that's where you kind of, you know, you learn how to develop and deal with young adults.
Yeah, you sure do. sure do. And it works both ways because I learned a lot about working with young people the same way. And then after Northern, I got right up. I went right up to Wisconsin. So.
Hey, do you remember when you got the call that you were going to be the next head coach for the Wisconsin Badger baseball team? That must have been a really good day for you.
Well, it was interesting. The story actually unfolds on a little lake in northern Wisconsin where we go on vacation every year, and we bought a cabin up there. My predecessor at Wisconsin had been there 30-some years, and he was an institution and a wonderful, wonderful guy by the name of Arthur W. Diney Mansfield. And he's remembered by any Wisconsin alum over those years. And he and I would fish every year because I got to know him when I was playing at Northwestern. And when I was coaching at Northern Illinois, we'd play them. And my parents would take me on vacation over the years. At Muskellunge Lake in Oneida County, which wasn't too far from Nelson Lake in Vilas County. So Diney and I would go fishing every year. And the year before I went up there, we were sitting in the boat on Nelson Lake, a little 27-acre lake, no motors, just beautiful muskies in this great, beautiful spot. And Diney started to tell me when he was going to retire to the day. And whatever prompted me, it had to be a Lord thing. I said, well, what does one have to do to get your job? And he was a big, he's a former boxer, great big guy, and big on the outside and soft on the inside and great guy. And he looked at me, pointed his finger, said, you do everything I tell you to do, and you'll be the next baseball coach at the University of Wisconsin.
Wow.
And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's exactly what happened. So I came in the fall of 69, as an assistant for 1 year, knowing Diney was going to retire the next year, and that if I did everything he told me to do, I'd become the head baseball coach. And about that time, Elroy Hirsch came in as athletic director, which was really a godsend for the university at that time.
Yeah, very much so. Hey, we're going to get to a break, and we're going to pick it up right there. We were talking to Tom Meyer, former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach. He's a Milwaukee guy. If you listen to that first segment, Washington High School, you know, he was a coach on the playground across the street from where my mom grew up over at Washington Park. And now he is the pastor of volunteer recruitment at Eastbrook Church. We'll talk a little bit about that throughout the show. And his life verse is Romans 8:28-31. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show as well and talk to him a little bit about that verse. Other side of the break, we're going to ask Tom Meyer to share his testimony with us. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, our special guest. You know, he surprised me with a few things in that first segment. It made me go right back to Bartlett Avenue Playground when he talked about some of the things he has done in his life. He is Tom Meyer, former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach from 1970 to 1983, and currently he's the pastor of volunteer recruitment at Eastbrook Church. And in a bio that I saw, it said, what are your responsibilities at Eastbrook? He said, meet with people. What do you love about that? I don't know. I love meeting with people. And I love a guy like that because, I don't know, him and I have a lot in common because, you know what, that I like that as well. Hey, Tom, the second segment of Faith in the Zone, we always ask people to share their testimony, and I wonder if you'd be willing to do that for us?
I'd be happy to, of course. Sure. beginning in the beginning, and I've heard several of your testimonies on other shows, on other other shows, and they always go back to where we were when we were a kid. And testimonies, as you and I know, and many of your listeners know, are divided into three parts: our life before Christ, how we came to know Christ personally, and our life after Christ. And there should be some change after we come to know Christ in a personal way. And I grew up in Milwaukee, and my father and mother didn't go to church at the time. My dad played softball, beer league softball. We'd go to Clutch Park, and after the game, we'd go to the local watering hole, and they'd spend all their money and buy some lunch, and we'd play the pinball machines, and we had a great time as kids. And that was my growing up, but it introduced me to the game of baseball, softball in those days. And all of a sudden, though, somewhere about 8 or 9 or 10 years old, we started going to church. And it was a Methodist church on 33rd and Walnut called Kingsley Methodist Church. Had a long history in the city, and it bowed out at a time when a lot of churches were moving out. And the city was undergoing some changes. But I grew up in that church and learned a lot, but never heard anything about a personal relationship with Jesus. It was pretty much a social place to go. Many of the people in my elementary school, 31st Street School, and then Steuben and Washington High School were going to Kingsley. And so it became a fun place to play. We'd play basketball on Saturday mornings. We were in some of the drama. We would go to the church services in the Sunday school. I got confirmed. And I thought being a Christian was doing good things for other people and going to church on Sundays. Now, both of those are important things to do. But I heard nothing about anything, about a personal relationship or getting to know God personally through Jesus Christ. So that's the way I went through high school. Went to Northwestern thinking the same thing. And with my life, everything had fallen in. Academically, athletically, it was just a wonderful life, and I credited that to being what I thought was a Christian. And I got down to Northwestern and got to know the chaplain of the university, Chaplain Ralph Dunlop, a great guy. And in getting to know him, I got involved with the chapel services on the campus. And a girl I was dating at the time and I started leading a vesper service one night a week. And again, all I thought being a Christian was helping people, going to church on Sundays. And that went on through my undergraduate and into my graduate time at Northwestern. And then one day, a girl I'd known really well, a good friend, lived on the south end of the campus, and on Northwestern's campus along Sheridan Road in Evanston, most of the men lived on the north end and most of the women lived on the south end. So I took that long walk along the campus and went down to visit this person whose father had become critically ill. He'd had a heart attack, as I recall, and she lived on the second floor of an apartment. I went up to visit her, tried to comfort her, and wasn't getting anywhere with my words. But all of a sudden, I felt a power, literally a power, overtake me. And words that came out then were no longer my words. They were my words, but it was almost like someone was directing those words. And I was almost shaking. I had goosebumps. I said, what in the world is this? And trying to comfort her again, I think that was accomplished, not through my words, but through those words that were coming, I think through the Holy Spirit at the time. So anyway, I got out of there. I accomplished what I thought I was there to accomplish, tried to comfort her in her need, and walked back. And on Northwestern's campus, there were two seminaries at the time, Seabury Western Episcopal Seminary on the west side of Sheridan Road and Garrett Biblical Seminary, a Methodist seminary on the east side, right across from each other, right in the middle of Northwestern's campus. And Garrett had a little chapel that was always open. And I walked in that chapel about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, whatever it was, and got on my knees. And it was a beautiful little place. And I said, God, that had to be you. And whatever that was, however I experienced that, is it possible to have that more often or to experience that realness? And I didn't really know about inviting Jesus in. I do now. But I kind of did. And I said, Lord, if that was you, if that were you, would you please come into my heart and just take over?
Amen.
And after that, my life didn't change. It was still the same. But I was beginning to be changed from the inside out. And I've told some people that during my Northwestern career, I had three friends. One of them told me I was prejudiced. Another one told me I had an uncontrollable temper. And I thought, oh, man, that's the kind of friend to have. And all of a sudden I thought, wow, what's this? And another, the third one told me I had a pride problem. And so there I was trying to work through those things, and they were all right. But God was beginning to work inside of me in those three areas. I was prejudiced and didn't even know it, just by the things I said sometimes and the joking around. I thank my African-American friend today for pointing that out to me. And, of course, we've come off a year with COVID and all the garbage that's been going on with COVID and the religious stuff and the political stuff. Wow, I had to learn some things along the way. So anyway, I went about my business and moved those coaches from one coaching position to another, like I mentioned earlier. And when I was at the high school in Evanston teaching, Billy Graham came to Chicago. And a number of teachers, and I went down to hear him. And I never heard anything like that. It was really powerful, and the Spirit spoke to me. And in my heart, I accepted the invitation. Didn't have enough guts to go forward. We were sitting up at Soldier Field, place way up in heaven somewhere. and it just didn't quite register to go forward. But that was the first time I heard about, you know, a personal relationship. Later on, I was invited by the basketball coach at Northwestern, Coach Rohrer, to go to a Fellowship of Christian Athlete Coaches Conference up at Green Lake, Wisconsin. So I went up there, and there again, I heard about a personal relationship with Jesus. And now it was beginning to sink in.
You bet.
But everything was still falling in place. So I ended up, after Evanston, going out to Northern Illinois. And I coached there for 6 years, and we had some really good teams, and everything was falling in. But my second year there, I married a girl I went to high school with, and it was one of those not good, not bad marriages. And after 6 years, I came home, or in the middle of the fifth year, really, and she said she didn't want to be married anymore. And that was the first thing, major thing, that I look back and I say, whoa, the bottom fell out. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle that. There was no such thing as divorce in our family. And I knew enough about God by then that that wasn't supposed to happen. And I blamed myself for all this, what was going on. I was that kind of a guy. I blamed myself and shoot myself in the foot. Anyway, now I had to really come to grips with who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and what he meant in my life. So I went up to Wisconsin without my wife. And so it was a good news, bad thing, bad news type situation. I went up there looking forward to being the Big Ten coach, but not going up there, not looking forward to being there without my wife. So that brought me to my knees, and I began to grow. So that's my story.
Amen.
And since then, my life has changed totally.
Amen. You know, it's funny, Tom, because, and I get goosebumps literally every second segment of Faith in the Zone, and I'll tell you why. Because your journey, sometimes it's immediate, right? Where you know, you've hit rock bottom, my testimony is a little bit different, where, you know, I was 100% Irish and doing things I shouldn't be doing. And I was given an ultimatum by my wife. And I, you know what? For me, I needed just horribly, I needed to get into the book and to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I needed that in my life to save my marriage and to save, you know, this great family that I had and have. And then there are other times where it's kind of a little bit slower of a journey and a burn and not that immediate. But what I love is when you said, look, my life, it's not like all of a sudden I said, okay, come into my heart and I was perfect after that. You know, that there just isn't such a thing. And I can tell you that when I accepted Jesus Christ, the Satan didn't want to lose me. I was a really good soldier for him, Tom. And I was tempted with more stuff than you can imagine that first year, and I couldn't understand it. And then I went back to Pastor Darrow at Eastside. I said, look, man, I thought you were taking care of all this for me. And he said, no, you think Satan wants to lose you, pal? You're like you're a frontline guy for him. He's going to come after you for a while. And I just love that the fact that, you know, you took full credit and blame for what had happened. So that first marriage lasted 6 years then, Tom?
Lasted 6 years, and she was a wonderful girl, and I just didn't treat her as well. And I found out subsequently that many other coaches that I was with and many players I had, their marriages didn't last either.
Mm.
And so, it's one of those things that, wow, if you had to live life over again, that's one thing you'd begin to emphasize a little bit more. How to, you know, and I began to study. I didn't know if I'd ever get married again, so I began to study what marriage was all about, what being a good husband was all about. And I was meeting with a lot of people, even back in those days, and many of them whose marriages were suffering. And so I began to get in the Word and try to find out what being a husband was all about, what being a father was all about. And we didn't have any children in that first marriage, and that was probably fortunate. But I became a student of marriage, and it made all the difference in the world when I later met my wife now of 43 years.
43 years. And Glenda, as is your wife's name, and Sherry and Lauren, we'll ask you a little bit about them on the other side of the break, and we're going to get to a break. And before we do that, you know, Billy Graham had such an impact on millions of people, and Coach Rohr from Northwestern to invite you up to that event at Green Lake, I think— You know, Coach, what a great thing for. Sometimes it's hard for us men to invite other men to events like that. Is Coach Rohr still with us?
I don't think so. He ended up being the athletic director at Ohio University, and just was a wonderful guy. And I never played basketball, but I got to know him through other basketball coaches, and he became a role model.
Well, you know what? One day when you meet him in heaven, thank him. And I'm telling you, he'll have a smile on his face. But, you know, him inviting you to that event in Green Lake, I think, had a big part in your testimony and your journey. We are talking to Tom Meyer. He is a former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach from 1970 to 1983, 13 years. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that part of his life. And, again, his life verse, Romans 8:28 through 31, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Again, he is Tom Meyer. He is a former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the more
welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. You know, during the break, I asked Tom Meyer, again, he is our special guest, former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach. He's now a pastor of volunteer recruitment at Eastbrook Church. I said, Tom, growing up, man, I got beat up all the time, got punched in the face a bunch, never cried. But those second segments, Tom, it just, it does. It tears me up. And everybody has a story. And sometimes it's really quick. And sometimes it's this journey that the Lord brings us on. And yours was just a marvelous journey with all these things going on when you finally made that decision. And I love the part where the Lord put some words in your lips, basically saying, look, here's what you should say to comfort your friend. And that's, I think, where it all started. Hey, Tom, as the baseball coach up at Wisconsin from 70 to 83, during the break I said, can we talk about that? You said, hey, I got fired, and I'm more than willing to talk about that. Not many people, I think, are, but you said, hey, that was a long time ago. Let's talk about your tenure up at Wisconsin and what that was like for you.
It was really a dream come true because, as we talked, I'm from Wisconsin, and even though I went to Northwestern, Wisconsin was my home, and it was just so special to become the head baseball coach at the University of Wisconsin. And I to this day, I really thank God for that opportunity. It molded me and shaped me in ways that I never would have been molded and shaped otherwise. And it was just a great opportunity with the young men and the other coaches around and just the opportunities it presented, get embellished in one's mind and heart. And so I thank all those people who were involved in that process, and there were lots of them, too many to name. But the players, we all get together yet. One of the players, Craig Zerbel, brings everybody together, even though baseball is no longer at Wisconsin. He brings all the players together once a year for a golf outing, which takes place in about 2 weeks out in Middleton, just west of Madison. So we look forward to getting together with these guys.
Can you hit the golf ball long and far and straight or what?
No, I never could.
Me
in fact,
neither.
We go on these golf outings on the best courses in the summertime as coaches at Wisconsin, and it was a fundraiser, and I told Elroy Hershey, athletic director, with me along, he loses money when I go on the golf course because I hit people and everything else. So, but it was a good experience to get around and meet people all around the state.
Well, Tom, I'm a horrible guy. Everything, because I played so much softball, it's inside out. Everything I hit goes to the right, so I aim way to the left, and it's just not good. I play with my sister Colleen, who was pretty much a non-athlete in the McGivern household. There were six kids, and she decided to take up golf because her husband, Ed, loves golf and plays a lot of golf. Well, my sister Colleen, playing golf with her is so boring to me. She hits the ball straight down the fairway about 150, 160 yards, and she chips it up to the green, and she puts the ball in the hole, and she goes to the next hole. I get to see the whole course, Tom. I get to see the woods and the water and way far to the right. She doesn't see the whole course the way I do because she just hits the ball straight every single time, and it drives me absolutely crazy. Hey, let's talk a little bit, if we can, about why the ending of your career up at Wisconsin and why that happened?
Yeah, I don't know why it happened, but I found out afterward. At the time, I didn't. We had a very, a below average season. And we never did really well. We never won the Big Ten. We took second 1 year. I think we took third once or twice. We were facing some factors that other Big Ten schools weren't facing. Budgetary things, field conditions, and so forth. But I always looked at that, and I've tried to get our players to do it, look at it as a challenge, and try to overcome those deficiencies. And I've told people if and when they get baseball back that they really treat it well and give it the money that it needs to have a stadium and so forth. But long story short, my supervisor called me in at the end of the season and told me what a good job I was doing. Keep up the good work. You're one of the finest coaches in the country. And then we started recruiting and everything else that you do as a baseball coach after the season ends. 2 weeks later, another person called me in and told me my time was up. And to my knowledge, nothing in between. There was nothing in the 2 weeks that I did that would have changed things. So I still don't know the actual reason. I've heard some things and asked some things, but they just kind of didn't make sense to me. So Some people said it was because I was a Christian, and I don't know if that was true or not. It doesn't make any difference now anyway. But another question came up, why didn't you get another college coaching job?
Right.
And when I lost my job, one of my mentors was Dr. Alexander, John Alexander, who was the national president of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Their national headquarters was in Madison, and Dr. A and I were meeting every week for years, as long as I was in town and he was in town. And I went up to see him as soon as this happened, and he sat me down. I'm Langdon Street, where all the fraternities are. He sat me down, and he said, you know, it wasn't such and such and such and such who fired you. And I said, I know that. And basically, he was reminding me that God was involved in all this. And whether God fired me or not, God allowed it to happen. And I looked at that way right from the beginning. And then isolated myself for 3 days. We had a friend in our church who lived out in the woods west of Madison. He and his wife set up a tent for me and put a light out there and a table and chair and some books to read and a big old Bible. And I went out there for 3 days seeking the Lord. Do I go back and do I stay in coaching, go somewhere else? And when I finished that three-day time, a friend in our church approached me and asked me if I'd take a trip around the world with him. He was with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and he worked with student training and missions. And he was going to visit students all around the world, and he needed someone to go with him. And my wife, Glenda, said, why don't you go? You haven't gone on a missions trip for a while, and I've been on a lot of them over the years, mainly through baseball. And so I said, okay. And he said, well, you got to raise your own support. And around the world ticket wasn't cheap in those days. And from five people in 3 days without my asking anybody, the money came in.
Wow.
So I went on a around the world trip, and time won't allow me to tell the story fully, but we're in our first stop in the Philippines. There's a couple coming out of China, passing through the Philippines, staying in the same place we are. It was a gentleman by the name of John Kyle, who was the missions director for InterVarsity. He and his wife, Lois, were on their way back to Madison. While we were together for one night in the Philippines in the Wycliffe Center, he asked me if I would be willing to work for InterVarsity when I got back. And Bill Goheen, the person I was traveling with, would be my boss. And he said, you can talk to him when you get back a month from now. Let me know what you decide.
Unbelievable.
So that was God working.
100%.
And I learned a lot in 2 years, and then they fired me from that job. And now God really had my attention. And there were reasons for that, legitimate ones, as the job changed. And it no longer was me. I was a round peg in a square hole. And then that moved us to Milwaukee. And that's another part of the story.
Well, I'll tell you this. At 1:59 today, and we're recording this, so maybe an hour and a half ago, I get emails from InterVarsity all the time. And I'm on their mailing list, and I started reading this a little bit earlier. It's one easy way you can help on campus this month, and it's just talking about, you know, kids are going back to campus now, and let's make sure that as part of InterVarsity that we're there for them and people are there for them. And it's just a really interesting email. It's funny because I just saw it. I read a little bit about it. And then you bring up that you were part of that. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, I'd like to talk a little bit, if we can. Want to be able to ask how you met your wife, Glenda, and talk a little bit about Sherry and Laura, how they're doing. And we will wrap this up. We've got a short segment coming up. He's really been a great guest. He is Tom Meyer. Again, former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach. We didn't get a chance to talk much about Eastbrook Church, and I will do that as well and talk a little bit about his wife and kids. Again, Tom Meyer, former baseball coach for the University of Wisconsin. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. Man, what a great show this has been. He is Tom Meyer. I look forward to meeting him in person and buying a cup of coffee. And if he ever meets with Coach O'Connell, you let me know and I'll buy the coffee, man. I will definitely buy it. Former Wisconsin Badger baseball coach. Hey, Tom, first segment we had talked about your first marriage. I'm wondering, where did you meet Glenda?
I met Glenda at Elmbrook Church in Milwaukee. She was the secretary, and I'll show you how long ago this was, when they had one secretary.
And, that was a while ago.
She had come to Milwaukee through the Billy Graham Association, traveling around with Leighton Ford, one of their associate evangelists and his team. And when they got to Milwaukee, she dropped off the team, and we met. And it took a while because I was still trying to get together with my first wife. But that didn't work, and so through a lot of guidance and people encouraging me, Glenda and I got married, and as I said, we're in our 44th year.
Man, congratulations. Sherry and Laura, are they still in our area here, or are they out of state?
Sherry is. She's teaching first grade. I think she's been there like 16 years at Eastbrook Academy, which is just an outstanding school in the area. And she's teaching first grade there. And Laura, our younger one, got married about a year ago. A little over a year ago, or 2 years ago now, and they have a 10-month-old boy, Jeremiah. They're living in South Carolina.
Congratulations.
Husband's in the Navy, and may never set foot on a ship. He teaches engineering down there on the base, and so we're a little Johnny come lately, but sure enjoying a 10-month-old grandson.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, we've got four grandsons and another one on the way. My daughter, Katie, is pregnant, and I'm so excited to have a fifth grandson. I'm thinking I'd like to try the granddaughter thing. I don't know, Todd, put frilly stuff in the hair and all that, but it's all these boys, and we are just so blessed. Hey, Tom, really quickly, and I'm sorry we don't have more time for this, but all the teams that you ever played on, so think about from the time you were at Washington High School, maybe even before that, to when you got done playing softball and any sport that you played, if you could play one more game, not as a coach, not coach, but play one more game, what uniform would I take out of the closet and have you put on, and who would you play against?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, there was one game. I was playing with the 901 Club in town, a local bar. We had four guys from Northwestern on that team. And we were playing out in West Dallas, and I had two home runs in one game. And there were a ton of scouts in the stands watching some of our younger players on the team. And I was already coaching on Northwestern, but I thought, two home runs, maybe there's still a chance for me. And I went over to these scouts who were all really good friends of mine by then, and not one of them said anything about the two home runs. And I thought, oh. But I said I'd wear that uniform again because I enjoyed the two home runs. I didn't do that ever. But I more importantly appreciated those scouts who were looking at bigger things and were looking at me as not a player, but as looking at me as a coach. It was a transition point in my life mentally.
Yeah, but I love that. As that second one went out, and I don't know what park you're in West Dallas, but man, that what a good feeling that had to be. He is Tom Meyer. Again, I just thank him. I wish we had had a little bit more time to talk about Eastbrook Church. I know that they're doing some great things over there. And as you had talked about, that Sherry is a teacher at the academy. I've heard nothing but good things about that academy. And being the pastor of volunteer recruitment, I thank you for your service for that church, and keep feeding the flock while you're over there.
Thank you, Mike. I thank the Lord for just what you're doing here, and that God doesn't leave us where we were yesterday or today, but he moves us forward. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm a changed person because of him, and so are you.
You and me at the same time. And when I get a chance to go out and speak, and I get a chance to go to men's groups at different churches, I always start with, you know, I'm not the man I want to be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 a.m., The Fan.
'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.